So the next thing we're going to look at is why we have the power. Why has, I mean, what's God up to giving us this power? Why has He done it? You know? And what we see here in Luke 24:49 is where Jesus says, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you, but tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." And God has given us power, and here's the power talked about in Mark chapter 16. "And these signs shall follow them that believe." And by the way, this verse right here in Mark chapter 16 are really good verses to use if you run into somebody who says, "Well, I haven't been given that gift." These are great verses because, you know, here, what does Jesus say? These signs follow who? Them that believe. Again, what? A whosoever. These signs follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak in tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And I'm going to give you a little bit of interesting something, and I don't have my notes here on it, but if you look at, there's an Aramaic Bible, the Aramaic Peshitta, which is a translation of the Aramaic text. This is getting a little complicated. Some of you guys know this, some of you don't. The Bible was translated from Greek, but there's also Aramaic, which Aramaic is actually what Jesus spoke. And so there's some Aramaic texts out there, and someone has translated the Bible from Aramaic. And what they have said in their Aramaic, I think her name is, what, you may know her name, Jane Majerus, who did the translation I'm talking about, that what she said is that there's a footnote in this section of Mark that talks about the serpents actually, or is a colloquial expression, is an idiomatic expression in the Aramaic that refers to devil spirits. Just a little free piece of information for you that's kind of interesting, okay? In other words, you know, the people that handle snakes, well, the Bible says you ought to handle snakes. Well, maybe it says that, maybe it doesn't. Maybe it's talking about, in other words, if you encounter a spirit, remember there's a place when we're going to see in a little while where Jesus talks about, I give you the power to tread on what? Serpents and scorpions. Is he talking about literally serpents and scorpions in that record in Luke? No, he's not. He's talking about devil spirits. So maybe this also is what? Talking about just another thing, okay, for you to look at, all right? So something interesting. So God gives His gift, all right? And there's a distinction drawn between salvation and between the power of the Holy Spirit and God's Word. Now, these aren't the only two gifts that God gives, but He draws a distinction. Here in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." That's the gift of salvation. And then Acts chapter 10, where Peter goes to the house of Cornelius, the first time that Gentiles get born again. And what did they do? Let's read what they did. "While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them," what? "Speak in tongues and magnify God." Now remember, not all the Gentiles spoke in tongues because not all of them were given that gift. It doesn't say that, does it? There's no record in the Bible where people spoke in tongues and some people did and some people didn't. There's no record like that. So, was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. So God draws a distinction between these two things. And I do this to show you that, and I ask the question on the next page, could God have saved you without giving you the Holy Spirit? In other words, why does God give you the Spirit? Why does God give you the power? Could He have saved you without giving you the Spirit? Well, that's probably a question we're never going to answer, right? But God draws a distinction between these two gifts. He gives you salvation, the gift of salvation, and He gives you the gift of Holy Spirit. Could God have done it? I don't know. Maybe He could have. He could have said, "Okay, you're saved. Congratulations, you're saved. You're going to heaven. I'll see you there. Bye. I'm going to go watch Oprah." Whatever. The Price is Right. I mean, right? And here's the funny thing. A lot of people, that's the way they believe. That's the way they are. I believe in, I'm saved. I mean, like I said, I grew up in a denomination that sort of ignored the Holy Spirit. They talk about it, but they didn't really teach anything about it. Salvation, 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 salvation. No power. So basically, that's kind of, there are a lot of Christians that are right there in that boat, where yes, they're saved, but they don't really have much power. That's where they're at. In fact, I used to be that way. I used to be that way. I mean, God blessed me, right? Because I was His son, because I operated godly principles, but I even took a class called what? Power for Abundant Living. And the class was good, and it taught people how to operate the power of God. But really, did I'll be honest with you, I didn't operate much power in my life. We tried. I'd pray for people, for them to be well, and you know, every few months I might pray for somebody to be healed. And we might see somebody healed every couple of years or so, you know, every once in a while. And maybe some people more than others. Maybe some of you guys did it more than I did. But I didn't have much power. And it wasn't until I really began to learn about how to operate the power of God that I begin to see results. And now we minister healing to people three or four times a week, maybe, at least. And we get results all the time. All the time. Who here has been ministered to and healed? Okay, tell me something that you've been healed of. Somebody just say whatever. What have you been healed of? Arthritis. What else? Anybody else? Broken knee. What else? Pain. What else?
Diabetes.
There's a good one. I've been healed of Crohn's disease, which I was sick for 15 years and took medication for 15 years. It affected my colon and everything. I mean, just my whole digestive system. I couldn't eat certain things. I took medication every day. Now I'm very healthy. Don't have that problem anymore. We've ministered healing. I know people who've been healed of cancer. I know people who've been healed of AIDS. I know people who've been blind and been healed. We know a guy who raised somebody from the dead. I know people who've been healed of all kinds of stuff. My son had chronic ear infections. He got healed of it. We're going to get his medical records, by the way. And that's one thing I'm starting to do now is actually, if you know somebody who's, if you've been healed of something and the doctor confirms it, I want to see medical records. Get a copy of your medical records that show the before and the after. Because I'm going to start putting together a collection of medical records that show where people have been healed. Okay? I'm going to get my son's medical records. So, God gives us the power. Why? He could have just saved you. Hey! See you later! He could have done it, but why did He give us the power? He gave us the power so that we could do what? We could bring people to God. We could preach with power. We could tell people about the power of God. God doesn't want a trickle coming out of you. He wants rivers of living water coming out of you. That's what He wants. So, that's why He does it. Look in Mark, I turn the page. The reason God gives the power is so that we can do what? We can preach with the power of God. Look what it says in Mark chapter 16. And we've already covered part of these verses. And He said unto them, go ye into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel to every creature. Now, what does it mean to preach? It means preach and teach are not the same thing. And I think I have it later in a couple of pages over. But the word preach is a Greek word which means to herald or to proclaim. To hearken. To say, hear ye, hear ye. I've got good news about God to talk to you about. Hear ye, the town crier. That's what it means to preach. It means literally to witness to people, to tell people about God. When it says preach in the Bible, it means to tell people about God. It doesn't mean to teach. Now, can you teach and preach? Absolutely you can. But they're two distinct things. To preach is to say, let me tell you about God. It's to witness. And so that's what Jesus is telling these people to do. Go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And here we are. Here's these signs that shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, He was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they did what? They went forth preaching everywhere, the Lord working with them, and what? Confirming the word with signs following. The power is the proof that God works. That's what you do. You know what? You get somebody healed of cancer, they're going to go tell everybody about how they got healed. And they're going to bring people to you. It happens. I actually have people, it's funny, I've had people come into my law office and make an appointment to come to see me. And when they get there, they have some kind of a problem they want to talk to me about. And I've had it happen a couple of times. And then they say, the reason I really came to you is you prayed for my friend and she got healed and I want you to pray for me. I've actually had that happen where people come to me that I've never met and they want me to pray for them. And that's what can happen to you. And everybody here has the ability to heal. Everybody does. You just got to have a little boldness. You got to be willing to get out of the box. You got to be willing to take a risk. You've got to be willing to go, oh wow, what if they don't get healed? I'll look like an idiot. Well, not everybody I pray, you know, not everybody I minister healing to gets healed, but you know what? A lot of them do. Most of them do. So, the reason we have the power is to preach the Word with power. And that's what it takes to provide the proof that God's Word and that God is real. Now look, words are fine. Plenty of people can get born again and get delivered just with words. But to really, really preach, you've got to have power. It's a sign to people. And even in 1 Corinthians 14:22, speaking in tongues is a sign to people. A sign to unbelievers, it says, wherefore tongues are for a sign. Not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. And so when we have a meeting like this, you know what? We always need people to speak in tongues and interpret. I've had people come to my house and they're like, that's speaking in tongues, man. I've never heard that stuff before. That was kind of weird. But I want to try it. I want to be able to do that. People come and they've never heard it before. It's a sign that something different is going on. So we always need to be able to speak in tongues and interpret. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Okay? And these verses turned my life around. They turned my life around. And I began to really see that it really is the power of God. And we're going to break these verses down. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but words of God's wisdom. Oh, it doesn't say that, does it? That's what you would expect it to say, wouldn't you? It's not with words of man's wisdom, but words of God's wisdom, right? Because it's about the words. No, it's not about the words. It's about power. It's not about words. It's about power. I came to you not with words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the wisdom of God. That's not what it says. Because it's not about words, it's about power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That's what it's about. God, Paul in verse 1 didn't come with excellency of speech. Paul was a pretty educated guy. He was a Pharisee, remember. And I'm sure he could use very flowery words. But it wasn't about the words. It's not about words. Preaching is about the power. It's about operating the Spirit. It's about healing people. It's about casting out spirits. That's what it's about. And that's what we need to be doing, is healing people and casting out those devil spirits. So I have it here at the bottom of the page, preaching. The word preaching is to proclaim, herald, witness God. Hear ye, hear ye. It is not teaching. They're two distinct Greek words, okay? And let's look at this. Fear and trembling. Now, here's a great King James thing, fear and trembling. And, you know, I used to, for years and years I looked at this, and I thought to myself, you know, Paul wasn't full of, you know, afraid and timid, was he? Right? The Apostle Paul, he didn't go to Corinthians, and he's all scared, and I don't know if I should say anything. Well, that's not Paul. And so I knew that there was something about that I didn't understand. And for years I wondered, but I didn't know. And so if you don't know you just don't know, right? Don't make something up. You don't know. Well, what I found out maybe just a month or two ago, is that according to the Strong's Concordance, that the term fear and trembling is a colloquial expression. Like we might, and it's an expression that is not literal. Like we say, you know, somebody dies, we say, what, they kicked the bucket, right? They didn't really kick the bucket. They're gone, right? Well, that's a colloquial expression, okay? It isn't the literal meaning. So fear and trembling is not the literal meaning according to the Strong's Concordance. It literally means one who distrusts his own strength and ability to do God's work, but tries his best to do it anyway. And really what it means is that someone who knows that through their own strength he can do nothing. And that's what Paul was about. He knew through his own strength he could do nothing. Therefore, he must rely on the strength of the power of God. And I think he states this again in the record in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where he talks about the thorn in the flesh, right? This is what Paul says. And he, talking about God, said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, would I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. I think that's very clear that it's not about my own strength. I'm not doing it through my own strength. I am relying on the strength of God. And so with fear and trembling, Paul came to the Corinthians, not relying on his own strength, but relying on the strength of God. And he said, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Because it's not about words, it's about power. Let's look at a couple, and I've got a couple of records here. You're going to have to take out your Bible if you have one with you. I want to show you a couple of records before we go to Luke chapter 10. But Matthew chapter 10, let's go to Matthew chapter 10. And here is a record where Jesus sends out the 12 apostles to preach His Word. And some people don't know this, but Jesus didn't do all the preaching. He actually sent people out to do it for Him. So in Matthew chapter 10, in verse 1, we're just going to cover a couple of these verses. And when He had called unto Him His 12 disciples, He gave them power, and that means authority, against unclean spirits, to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Preaching is casting out spirits and healing people. That's how you preach. You certainly do it with words as well, right? But it's about power. And that's what when Jesus sent people out, He sent them out to cast out spirits and to heal. And that's what we do. I deal with people all the time who have issues, who have spiritual issues. They have depressions. They have fears. They have grief. They have addictions. And you know what these are? They're devil spirits. That's what they are. It's not a complex. I mean, certainly there's a physiological aspect to it, because sometimes you can take medication and you can help with depression or whatever, okay? But you can also get ministered to and you can get healed. Whatever that chemical imbalance is in your brain can be healed. And whatever devil spirit that's coming in and taking advantage of that chemical imbalance can be cast out. Look, it's normal to have some depression. It's okay. That's normal. But when you get so depressed you can't leave your house, when you get so full of fear you can't leave your bedroom, there's a spiritual problem and it needs to be dealt with. Okay? Nothing to be afraid of. It's the way life is. It's right here in the Bible. So, when He called unto Him His 12 disciples and He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and disease. Now, the names of the 12 apostles are these, and He names them, and I like this. And this is why, you'll see why I wanted to read this record. And I'm not going to go through the names, all of them, but they're all named here. 12 apostles, the first Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip, and Bartholomew. He goes all the way through them. And then in verse 5, He says, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, or into any city of Samaritans, enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, what? Preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Okay, let's go to Luke chapter 9. It's also not in the handout. Luke chapter 9. Every time Jesus sent these people out to preach, He told them to heal the sick and cast out devils. Heal the sick and cast out devils. Luke chapter 9. Same record, okay? Verse 1. Luke chapter 9, verse 1. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure disease. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. How about that? There it is again. Heal, cast out devils. And by the way, God will give you power to do it, and He'll give you the authority to do it. God will never give you power without authority. God will never give you the authority to do it without the power to do it. All right? Whenever you see authority, power is always implied. Whenever you see power, authority is always implied. God always gives them together. He's not going to give you the authority to do something and then not give you the power to do it. That would be silly. Right? Okay, let's go to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. And this is where Jesus sends out the 70. And I love this record. Because we all know about where He sent out the 12, but He also sent out 70. He sent out 35 pairs of people to go to do His work. 35 pairs of people. Now, the apostles He names, right? He says, here they are, Simon, Peter, Bartholomew, James, right? Let's look at the 70. Let's see if He names them, okay? Luke chapter 10, in verse 1, He says, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and He sent them two and two before His face into every city and place whither He Himself would come. Therefore He said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers into His harvest. Go forth, behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. He sent them out to do what? He sent them out to heal and to cast out devils. That's what He sent them out to do. And if you look in here, I think their names are somewhere. Can somebody find them for me? Where are they? Where are they? They're not there. We don't know their names. Who are they? Just some guys. Are they apostles? Are they the Big 12? Is it Peter? He's going to go out? No. These are just 70. And there's not 10 or 15 of them. There's 70 of them. 70 people that Jesus Christ sent out to do the work of God. Right? What are their names? We don't know. Who are they? I don't know. They're never mentioned again. They're just regular people. And I think that God left their names out on purpose so that you would go, who are they? They're just regular people. They're just like you guys. Just like you guys. Everybody in here is one of the 70. Everybody is. Doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are. Everybody can do it. So, let's read this record. Let's skip down to verse 8. And into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and do what? Heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them what? The kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. They're preaching. That's what they're doing. They're healing and they're casting out devil spirits. And how do I know? Because in verse 17, this says, the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, Lord, even the devils are subject to us through thy name. So what are they doing? They're casting out devil spirits. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you the power, the authority, to tread on serpents and scorpions, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Absolutely nothing. In the Greek, it's a triple reflexive, which means absolutely, positively, nothing will hurt you. I give you that power to do that. Absolutely nothing can hurt you. These are just regular people that Jesus Christ sent forth to do His... Say, I can't get everywhere, so I'm going to send you guys out to do what I'm doing. Tell them about me, tell them about the kingdom of God, and deliver people. They weren't even born again. They didn't even have Holy Spirit because it wasn't available yet. But Jesus Christ gave them the authority and the power to do His work. Just like He gives it to you. Just like He gives it to you. And you know, like I said, I mean, we deal with this. We have started, I mean, the last few years I've gotten into not just physical healing. I've probably been ministering healing for probably about 15 years, physical healing, and have had some success with it. But the last 4 or 5, 6 years, 7 or 8, I don't know how long it's been, we've also gotten into emotional healing, where we minister for people's emotional problems. You know, the depressions, the fears, anger issues. Everybody has got somebody in their family who has an anger problem, right? Raise your hand if you don't know anybody with an anger problem. That's right. My dad, I had an anger problem. for years. Still do every once in a while. My dad, he could cuss so well you would pay to hear him cuss. I mean, he was really, really good at it. He could use words that you'd never heard before. You're like, wow, never heard that word before. And so what did I do? I grew up thinking that that was the way you acted. You know, when you got mad, you threw things and you broke things and you screamed at the sky. And there's a lot of people out there with anger issues. You know what? If you can't control it, it's a devil spirit. That's the way it is. You don't like to hear that? That's the way it is. If you get mad and you break things and you put holes in walls, there's a spirit, okay? That's the way it is. I had one. I had to get rid of it. Okay? But here's the cool thing about it. It's so much easier to get rid of a devil spirit than to heal somebody. Because if I go up to you to heal you, maybe you're not believing to be healed. But if you want deliverance from a spiritual problem, guess what? I can tell the devil spirit to leave and he has to leave. He has no choice. Now, you've got to want the deliverance, and sometimes people don't want it. Sometimes they're comfortable with their spiritual problems. Sometimes people want to be depressed. Sometimes people like their anger issues because they use anger to control people. Right? They get mad and you're like, okay. Gosh, just calm down. I'll do what you want. Right? That's a spiritual problem. If you use anger to control people, there is a spiritual problem. Sometimes people, but if you want deliverance, I've cast devil spirits out of people and they didn't know what I did. How about that? Where people come into my office and they're full of fear and they're full of depression, and I say, do you want to be this way? No, I don't want to be this way. And so I say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command fear and depression to leave. I didn't say the spirit of, but the devil spirit knows I'm talking to them and they know they have to leave. And that's what they do. Because you know what? They don't have a choice. Those of us my age and older were corrupted by a movie called The Exorcist. Everybody seen The Exorcist? Has anybody here not seen The Exorcist? Well, remember Linda Blair? Her head spins around. And the priest in The Exorcist goes in. He's got his cross. And he's got his holy water. And he's all scared and afraid. And I don't need any of that stuff. I walk in with the name of Jesus Christ and I tell that devil spirit to leave and he has to leave. Sometimes they don't want to leave, but you make them leave. And what happened to the priest at the end of The Exorcist? He died. He died because that's what the devil wants you to believe. He wants you to believe that his devil spirits are powerful enough that they can kill you and that they can drive you out, throwing things around the room or whatever. And that's not the way it is. You walk in and you tell that devil to leave in the name of Jesus Christ and he has no choice. Every spirit has to leave when you tell him to leave. Every single one. But that's what the devil wants. He wants you to think that his devil spirits are powerful enough that, uh-oh, they can kill you. Okay, I kind of got off track here. Remember, 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, a very familiar verse. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Every spirit. Remember it says, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. There's no exceptions. Okay, let's get back to preaching. Let's look at Romans chapter 15. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and what? Deed. Through mighty signs and wonders. By the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have what? Fully preached the gospel of Christ. And how? With signs and wonders and deeds. You have to have signs, miracles, and wonders to fully preach. And that's why God gives us the power. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 19. And let me tell you something. I used to think if I took class after class after class, someday I would be spiritual. Oh, you can't do that. You haven't had the advanced class. I used to believe that. You can't cast out spirits. You can't heal. You haven't had that class that teaches you how to do that. You know what? You don't need a class. You need the authority of Jesus Christ. And you can heal. You can get born again today and you can heal tonight. You can cast out spirits tonight. You get born again today, you can cast out devil spirits tonight. All you have to understand is your authority. That I can walk in and tell it to be gone. I have the authority over sickness and disease. I tell it to get out in the name of Jesus Christ, and it leaves. Okay, so here we are. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, Verse 19, but I will come to you shortly if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. That's what it's about, power. And finally, we'll close out this morning session in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. It's really about the power. However, it's also about walking in love. Because when you are walking in love, that's when you really have the power. And there's so many, I probably should put some more verses in here. There's so many places in the Bible where it talks about Jesus having compassion, right? Where He had compassion. And then what does He do? He performs a miracle when He has compassion. Because that's what it's about. It's about walking in love. You've got to be walking in love and desiring to help people. And let me tell you something. You heal somebody of cancer or of anything, it's the best feeling in the world. You deliver somebody and change their life, it's the best feeling in the world. You help them get rid of depression so that they're a new person and they don't have to take that, whatever it is, Xanax or... Is that it? Or is it the stomach one? Zantac? Xanax? Whatever they are. You know? No. Huh? Is there a doctor in the house? I mean, seriously, you change somebody's life. There's a lady who comes to our fellowship, and it's funny because I've got a friend who grew up in the Church of Christ, which is a denomination that's sort of, you know, kind of like I grew up a Baptist. Nothing wrong. Look, I'm not fussing at people, but they don't teach this stuff. And so I've got this friend who's probably he won't tell me how old he is. I asked him the other day. He goes, old enough. He's probably about 50, late 50s, early 60s, I imagine. But he grew up in the Church of Christ. And I started talking, and he was asking me why I was coming to Lubbock, so I started explaining it to him. Now, this is somebody I've actually ministered to before and helped him. And so we start talking about healing, and I start talking about speaking in tongues, you know, and I said, look, we don't handle snakes or anything like that, don't worry. You know, nobody rolls around on the ground. I mean, it's okay. It's okay to speak in tongues. It's okay to say you speak in tongues. It's okay to say, hey, I speak in tongues. What's wrong with you? You don't? Man, we need to work on you. And so I'm talking to him, and what's really cool is I've got people in my office who have come to my fellowship, and so I just looked over at my receptionist, Ida, and I said, Ida, I'm talking to you about healing, and I looked over at Ida, and I said, Ida, how many times have you been healed? And she goes, oh gosh, at least four. And she said, and that's really only the bad stuff. I mean, I've been healed a bunch more times, but, you know, I had a broken foot. She goes, I had a broken foot. I could barely walk, and the next day I was out jogging after I got prayed for. I mean, think about to do that for somebody, to make a difference in their life that'll last them the rest of their life, to be healed of all of these things, there's nothing better than that feeling. There really is nothing like it. But every one of you should aspire to do it, and every one of you can do it. And it's really easy once you know how. So, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, and actually, that word fear means timidity. It actually means fear to speak. It's the fear to speak. Timidity. The fear to speak. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. That's what God gives us, that power, love, and sound mind. That's the spirit you've got. It's not a spirit of timidity. God wants you to be bold. God wants you to stand up and speak. And when you run into somebody, you walk up to the clerk in the grocery store and you say, how you doing? And they say, oh man, I really had a rough day. Because that happens sometimes, right? There's people everywhere that need help, and they'll tell you, "Hey, how you doing?" Oh man, you wouldn't believe what I've been through. You don't want to know. That's right. You don't want to know. You know what? God can deliver you. God can heal you. And you know what? Next time, I've done that to the clerk at the grocery store. Let's walk over here and let me minister to you, and I can take care of that problem for you. I've done it to the clerk at the grocery store. You got to be bold. You got to be, man, people are, I mean, and you know what? Some people go, no, that's okay. But most people go, really? You'll pray for me? Wow. I really need it. Thanks. That's what you'll get.